Gospel of Mark, the chapter 8. The text for this evening is there in the verse 25. Mark 8, verse 25. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. As he preached on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, of course, preached Christ. And in so doing, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Acts 2 and verse 22. Yes, the Savior's public ministry consisted of him working among the people with miracles and wonders and signs. And the Lord wrought many of those miracles, wonders, and signs by the use of his hands. Sometimes he would heal the afflicted by the power of his word. He would speak the word and it would be done. Sometimes he would heal using means, as he told the man who was blind from his birth. He told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. John 9 and verse 7. And then on other occasions, the afflicted were healed by the touch of the Master's hand. The Master's hand. How many dear souls felt the healing touch of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yea, the very hand of God. How many dear afflicted lame souls felt the strengthening power of those hands, the hand of Christ? How many weak souls had those strong hands lift them up and set them on their feet once again? Yes, and those hands were helping hands. Those hands, the hands of Christ, were healing hands. Those hands were also holding hands. And always, the hands of Christ were holy hands. And here those hands are employed once again in the healing of this blind man. And so let us consider those hands tonight, the hands of Christ, as we see them used here in the healing of this blind man. It's a wonderful story of the healing power of Christ. I want us first of all to consider with regard to those who brought the blind man to the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice their hope in Christ. Their hope was in Christ. No sooner had the Lord Jesus arrived there in the city of Bethsaida than we read, they bring a blind man unto him. You can see it there in the verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. So the Lord has just arrived in Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. There we have their burden. They evidently had a burden for this dear man. The friends or family, whoever they were, of this blind man were obviously burdened for him, and they didn't want to miss the opportunity. The Lord just arrived in Bethsaida, and they immediately brought their friend, this blind man, to Christ. They obviously had a burden for him. And so let us consider then, regarding the burden, let us look at his friends. They demonstrated their true friendship, did they not, in bringing him to Christ. Whoever else he had in his life, whatever other people were in his life, those who brought him to Christ that day, they were his true friends. Just as it is with sinners. Those who seek to bring the unsaved to Christ, those who seek to win them for Christ, they are that person's true friends. The true friends are those who seek to bring people to the Lord Jesus. It shows they have a burden. It shows that they care. They care. They want to see them saved before they pass out into a lost eternity. They're interested in that person's eternal welfare. Paul was such a man. We could give many instances in the lives of Paul, as recorded in his epistles, that he was a man who had a burden for souls. But we take one example. There in Acts 20, he bid farewell to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He'd been laboring there amongst them for over 3 years. And he's looking back on his ministry. And he said, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Acts 20 and verse 31. To warn them night and day of the consequences of sin. To warn them that they needed Christ or they passed out into a lost eternity. And we can say Paul was a true friend of all those who were in the church there in Ephesus. As we noted this morning and how he addressed the believers in Corinth. Dearly beloved, my beloved brethren, he had a love for souls. And having a love for souls, he had a burden for souls. And he made it known. And here the friends of this blind man evidently had a burden to get him to Christ. They wanted to see the Lord touch him and restore his sight. As well as his friends, we notice they were faithful. The friends of the blind man seized the opportunity to bring him to Christ. They obviously didn't want to miss the opportunity. And you notice something. It was a united effort. For it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring. And so it was a united effort to bring this man to the Lord. Now this is no new thing. This was no isolated incident. Turn please to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. And verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him. Mark the words. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. But we notice again, great multitudes came on them, having with them. And they brought the lame and the blind and the dumb and the maimed and many others to Christ. They took the opportunity to bring their friends who suffered all these afflictions. They were going to see Christ. Multitudes came unto him, but they didn't come empty-handed. They brought the afflicted with them. They didn't miss the opportunity. Let us learn from these individuals when we are going to meet the Lord. The opportunity arises on the Sabbath day. I know we're under restrictions at the present time, but when restrictions are lifted, when we are coming to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, let us endeavor to bring somebody with us. As the multitude did, when they went to meet with Christ, they brought with them those who needed the Lord. So we have the friends, and we have the faithful, and we have their faith. They brought a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Notice, they brought a blind man unto him. Unto him. Because they had faith in Christ, believing that he had the power to give this man his sight again. And you know, the Lord will always reward faith that is placed in him, just as he did with those who, you remember, four men brought a friend of theirs who was sick of the palsy. Again, you see, it was a united effort. And we read then in Mark chapter 2. And in Mark 2, verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. United effort. Where were they going? They were going to Christ, and they brought somebody with them. And they bring in one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Their faith was rewarded. And the Lord will always reward that faith that is placed in him. And those that brought the blind man to Christ that day, they evidently had faith to believe that Christ could restore his sight. And boy, was their faith rewarded. As well as their burden, we look a little closer to the blind man. There were those who had the burden for the man. And we look at the blind man himself. It would appear that this man had lost his sight, perhaps through some disease, or maybe an accident. Because you look at verse 25, and after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. So he had sight before, and he's restored. His sight was restored to him. He was Not like the man that we read about in John 9 who was born blind. Either way, it was a terrible affliction. But here the point is, nothing else is said about this blind man. Nothing. We know nothing about his background. We know nothing about him as a person. Was he a rich man? We're not told. Was he a poor man? Was he a young man? Was he an old man? The focus here is upon his affliction. The focus is upon what his need was. And that's why his friend brought him to Christ, because only Christ could meet that need. Only Christ could heal and cure him of this affliction of blindness. And so it is with individuals today. Whatever they are, young or old, rich or poor, every man and woman has the same need. They need Christ. Because every man and woman is a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It doesn't matter if a man's prosperous. Doesn't matter if he has power or he has many possessions. Doesn't matter if he's powerful. Doesn't matter if he's poor. One thing unites every man on the face of the earth. One thing unites us all. We're sinners. And just as those who brought the blind man to Christ that day, they knew that only the Lord Jesus Christ could heal that man of his blindness. And the problem that every single man and woman has on the face of the earth is sin. And again, Christ is the answer. He's the only one. The only one who can remove sin. The only one who can forgive sin. A man may have riches untold. What did the Bible say? What did the Lord say? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There the Lord Jesus is telling us, a man's soul is of more value than all the riches and the wealth in the world. Isn't that something? Man's soul is of more value than all the wealth that's in the world. And they brought a blind man to the Lord. We're not told anything else about him, but his particular need, and his need was at that time, he needed his sight restored. And only Christ could do, only the Lord Jesus could do that. So we've seen their burden. We've seen the blind man. And then we're told they besought the Lord. So we look at their beseeching the Lord to touch the blind man. We're told in verse 22 again, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Wanted the Lord to put his hand upon him. They believed and had faith that there was power in the hand and the touch of Christ. The blind man's friends did not just bring the blind man to Christ and leave him there and think, oh well, that's our good deed done for the day. Not at all. They brought him to Christ and then they besought the Lord. They prayed to the Lord. Besought him to touch him. They believed that there was healing power in the touch of the Master's hand. So they besought him. Likewise, we endeavor to bring souls to Christ, we need to pray for them also. The word besought that we have there, they besought him. That word means to call to one side. It's a lovely word, that, with that meaning. The Lord came to Bathsheba, and they bring a blind man unto him, and they plead it with the Lord, Lord, come alongside. Do you imagine how lonely that blind man must have been in his life when he lost his sight? How lonely he would have been. Except that day a number of his friends got together and they brought him to Christ and they besought the Lord and they asked the Lord, Lord, come alongside. Draw near. The cry was to call the Lord to come alongside this blind man and touch him that he might receive his sight. The Lord always responded to requests like that. The Lord always answered prayers like that. He never turned a deaf ear to any man or woman who cried out to him for help. That's who he is. That's who the Savior is. Matthew 20. Go back there to Matthew 20. Matthew 20 and verse 30. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them. Why did they rebuke the blind man? Because they thought the Lord would have no time for blind man. The multitude rebuked the blind man because they should hold their peace. They thought the Lord wouldn't be interested. But they cried out the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thy Son of David. And I love those words in verse 32. And Jesus stood still. No, he wasn't the Christ that the multitude thought he was. He wasn't going to pass by those blind men who cried out to him. He never does. He never does pass by men and women who cry out to him for help. And he certainly didn't do it here. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. There you have the response. They cried out. No, the Lord didn't turn a deaf ear. A multitude of people followed him. And what do we read? The blind men, two men, lying at the side of the road. Two beggars. They would have ignored them, but not Christ. And the Lord brought the whole multitude of people to a halt. Christ stood still. He has time for those blind men. He has time for people who are afflicted. He has time for those who are in need. He has time for us. He'll never pass us by. And the many have had the Lord indeed come alongside in their time of need. Come alongside, as he did with this blind man who was in darkness. The Lord has come alongside those who are in darkness. That's who he is. Praise the Lord. That's who Christ is. So we've seen their hope in Christ. That brings us now to consider the hands of Christ. When we prayed for someone, I'm sure we often use the expression, Lord, put thy hand upon him. Lord, touch that man or that woman. And basically that's what the friends of the blind man asked the Lord to do. That's what we read. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Lord, put thy hand upon him, touch him. Three times in these few verses dealing with the blind man, the Lord's hands are mentioned three times, as though to emphasize the work that he did it with his hands. But that teaches us something. It teaches us, first of all, that the hands of Christ were laboring hands. The dear Savior was always laboring with his hands. The Savior was a tireless worker, putting his hands to good use as always. Over to Luke chapter 4. We have a perfect example of this. Luke chapter 4. There we read in verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, it was the end of the day. Then the women would have packed it in. It's the end of the day. Another day spent. But not with Christ. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. There's it again. They were going to meet with Christ and they didn't come empty handed. They brought somebody with them. And they brought them unto him. Look at this. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. See what I mean? When I talk about Christ's hands, the laboring hands. He laid his hands on every one of them. And we all know that no matter where the Lord went, there was always a multitude. And how many were there? He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Oh, that's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We know. The Lord could have spoken a word and said to those individuals that had those afflictions, be thou healed. The Lord could have done that, because he's God. But no, he labored with his hand. He laid his hands on every one of them. And you know, people were often astonished when they saw what Christ did with his hands. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They marvel at what the Lord did with his hands. Look at verse 5 of Mark 6. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. His laboring hands, everywhere he went, he worked with his hands, the hands of Christ. As well as being laboring hands, the Lord's hands are loving hands. The Savior was asked to touch this blind man. They besought him that he would touch him. That's what they asked for. It was just a touch. But the Lord did more than that. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him, and he took the blind man by the hand. He did more than touch. It says he took him. The word took there means to take hold. So it wasn't a matter of the Savior standing, as it were, at a distance, thinking, oh dear, knows where this man has been, and standing at a distance and touching him. No, no, no. He took hold of him. He took him by the hand. Does that not speak to us of the Lord, of the Lord expressing his love? Expressing love for this blind man. He took hold of him. He didn't keep him at a distance. He took hold of him. And indeed all whom he touched, and all whom he took hold of, it was out of love. It was out of love. Look at Matthew chapter 8. And here is an expression of love. Matthew chapter 8. The opening three verses. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. And we all know what the disease of leprosy does to a person's body. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand. A leper put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. But that's not all. We don't leave the matter there. We don't leave the story there. We're told that the Lord put forth his hand and touched him. But wait. The word touched means to hold. It means to embrace. Nobody else would have done that. We've said before, if a leprous man was seen walking down the street, many a person would stop and go home another way. They wouldn't even walk down the same street of a leper. And what did Christ do? He didn't just touch him. He held him. He embraced him. And he did it before a multitude. That's who the Lord Jesus is. Who would have done such a thing to a leper? Only one. And when the Lord Jesus touched, held, embraced that leper. What does it tell us? It tells us Christ loved that leper. It speaks of his loving hands. His loving hands, as well as his laboring hands, they were loving hands. When the Lord came alongside the blind man and took the blind man, that was the hand of love that took him. He took him by the hand. Laboring hands, loving hands, leading hands. Isn't that what they all need? They embark upon a new year. And if the Lord spares us, we need the Lord to lead us, to take us by the hand and lead us, because we're apt to go astray. But we're told he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the city, of the town. So when the Lord takes us by the hand and leads us, we can always be sure he'll lead us in the right path. He'll never lead us astray. But then, regarding this, what the Lord did, the question is asked, why? Why did the Lord lead the blind man out of the town? Why did he not heal him there and then? You look at the commentators, and of course they all have their own views. It wasn't the first time the Lord did that. Look at chapter 7 of Mark. Verse 32. And they bring unto him, there's it again, that little phrase, they bring unto him. They were coming to Christ, so they brought someone with them. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And what the Lord did. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephrata, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake clearly. But is it interesting? The Lord took him aside from the multitude, took him away from the crowd. And he did the same with the blind man. He took him and led him out of the town. Of course, it does beg the question, why did the Lord do that? Others that were brought to him, he healed them there. He put his hand, as we saw there in Luke 4, he put his hands in every one of them and healed them all. Why didn't he do it with the man who was deaf and dumb? Why did he do it with the blind man? As I say, many and various are the views. But I'll give you my view. He took the blind man that was blind. He took this man that was blind and led him out of the town. He took the man who was deaf aside from the multitude. And I believe he did this on these two occasions to show his own humility and humbleness and lowliness. He didn't want to make a spectacle of it all. Now you and I know there are characters up and down the length of North America They're supposed to be called healers. And they'll rent a stadium. And they get quite a few thousand into the stadium. It's going to be a healing campaign. And they get people up on the stage, big stage. And they get them up on the stage, and the so-called healer will come, and he usually puts his hand upon them, and they fall backward to the floor of the stage. First of all, that tells you immediately it's not of God. When the Lord touched anyone, they didn't fall backwards, they fell forward at his feet and worshipped him. Those who fell backwards were those who were his enemies. You recall in the Garden of Gethsemane when the mob came to take the Lord said, "I am." And they fell backwards as men that were dead. Christ is only to speak the word. But here these so-called healers get people up on the stage. They lay their hands upon them. And they're supposed to be healed. And it's all a big show. They're showmen. It's a whole exhibition. So opposite to what Christ did. And here the Lord took these men out of the away from the multitude. It was a meeting just between the men and the master. Just the Lord and the afflicted. No one else. He led them out of the town. He led them away from the multitude. And on these two occasions, the Lord told those whom he had healed to tell no man. Not interesting. Chapter 7, Mark 7, verse 36. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them so much, the more a great deal they published it. So you see the Lord and his humility. Chapter 8, verse 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. There's Christ's humility. Praise the Lord, he wasn't any kind of a showman. There were those who wanted to see a sign. Wanted to see some miracle. Wanted to put on a show. Basically, that's what they were asking for. But that's not who Christ is. As we see here. So we see their hope was in Christ. We see the hands of Christ. And then the healing by Christ. Verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, and again the Lord could have healed the man just by the power of his word, but he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men. As trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes. Mark that. He didn't put his hands on his shoulders. He didn't put his hands on his arm or his head. He put his hands on his eyes. That's what it says. And made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now regarding the healing of this man, we notice first of all it was gradual. He looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. Once again, the actions of the Lord here have raised some questions among commentators. They say, why didn't the Lord heal him completely the first time? On other occasions, when he put his hands upon the afflicted, they were healed immediately and were healed completely. But who are we to question the Lord? Solomon said, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? We cannot challenge the Lord in anything that he did. He chose to heal this man in this way. He could have spoken the word, but instead he spit on his eyes. He could have spoken the word, instead he healed them gradually. But when you think of it, isn't that what the Lord does? We're praying for someone who's been led aside, and we pray, Lord, be pleased according to thy will, Lord, to touch that individual and heal them and raise them up. And maybe we get word the next day, the person we've been praying for, he's so much better. He's able to go home from hospital. Or we ask for the Lord to heal someone, and it's after a number of days, we get word they're gradually getting better. They're improving. So we could say, why doesn't the Lord heal them straight away? Why didn't he do it this way? Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And he healed this man gradually. It wasn't the first time he did that. You go over to John 9. The man who was born blind. John 9. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The Lord knew all about him. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Verse 7. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. He didn't heal him straight away. He spat on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he wasn't healed. He didn't get his sight until he went to the pool of Siloam. He didn't heal him immediately. He healed him all right. But it wasn't done immediately. And even today we pray, as I said, for persons healing from sickness, and the Lord in grace may heal them straight away. And other times they may heal them gradually. Notice also, not only one is it gradual, but when the Lord put his hands upon this blind man, they were gentle. The gentle hands of Christ. How gently the dear Savior dealt with this blind man. Verse 25, we've already pointed it out. In the verse 25, we're told, and he put his hands again upon his eyes. You know how sensitive our eyes are. Can't abide anything near your eyes. And yet here is the Lord, and he put his hand. It says that. Put his hands on his eyes. Does that not speak to us of the gentleness of Christ? Look at Mark 1, first chapter of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, there in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And they came, look, and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. He took her by the hand. The gentle hand of Christ lifted up this dear woman. You remember the day the mothers brought their children to the Lord? As we read in Mark chapter 10. And there in Mark 10, they brought, verse 13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And we read in verse 16, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. The gentle hands of Christ were laid upon those children. Christ is gentle. That's what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, listen, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. So you see, the healing was gradual, and the Lord's hands were gentle, and the Lord was gracious, because we're told he sent the man home, sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Again, speaking of the humility of Christ. If anybody else had the power to do what Christ did, why, they'd have been publishing it far and wide. But not the Savior. Don't tell anybody. You just go home. And what a change there would have been in that home. The man knew the way home. He was familiar with the way home. Now, he could see. Wonderful study. The hands of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we thank thee for who the Lord Jesus is. We thank thee for what we've learned tonight about the hands of the Lord Jesus. Those gentle hands, those loving hands, those hands that led that blind man out of the town, those hands that were laid upon his eyes. Lord, we thank thee for who thou art. I pray, our God, thou will bless the word to all who have heard it tonight. Use it, dear Lord, to thy glory. And those, Lord, for whom have been praying, and I will, Lord, lay thy healing hand upon them. May they know the touch of the Master's hand. Lord, be with us tonight as we make our way home, and may we know thy presence throughout this week. Hedges about, Lord, keep us healthy and well, and keep us safe in all our troubles. And again, Lord, we pray for those working in hospitals and nursing homes, and the doctors. Dear Lord, be with them. Give them grace for each day. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God. May we do so rejoicing in our Savior. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.